Yes, good afternoon. Good afternoon to everybody out there, our entrepreneurs, you know, our leaders, our elders, the youngsters, parents, whatever it may be. Just good afternoon to you wherever you're finding yourself from. This is the business and economic segment, lecture hall one, with me, Kaveve Demburuka.
Yeah, and David Shobe. Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon to our dear listeners, to our policymakers, lawmakers, to our parents, students, and everybody who follow business and economic segment. This is a platform where we talk about economic matters. It's lecture hall one. It's a platform where we talk about, you know, national developmental aspects. We talk about national economy. We look at national policies. We look at private sector development. We look at, government relations, especially in the areas of development. We analyze policies. We look at the areas where the country have done well and where we have a shortage and how we can improve that part. And it's also a platform where we call the experts, especially people who are very vested in the areas of human development, economic development, infrastructure development, and most importantly, also education for economic development. And after every deep conversation that we have, we also urge all our listeners who have points to contribute. Either you have a question, you can engage us on the studio so you can be able to give your views, come up with questions, and just contribute to the topic, because as we have always been saying, we are not experts in areas that we talk about. We have you out there with more than 20 years experience, especially in topics that are being discussed here. But your voice is more important, and you giving your input in whatever discussion that we are going to bring up, I think it's a contribution to the not only the development of the country, but also to the enlightenment of the people and the way people think. Because the aim of this program is to make sure that we transform the mind, and also transform the way people think. We advise our institutions, and it's a learning platform. It's a lecture hall one.
Mm.
And when you are at university, it's not only the professor who knows. Professors,
yeah,
they learn from students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's why it's an academic institution where you come and you share your ideas. Same as here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And for today's topic, we're going to be talking about how can we truly, reduce the financial burden that comes with the whole process of back to school.
Yeah.
Because we are gearing up for the new academic year. By Monday already, most people will be back to school and back to their routines. But this is also a crucial time, because for most parents, and this is a reoccurring thing, it happens almost every single year,
mm-hmm.
Where a lot of parents, are concerned about the financial strain it brings. In terms of, schools receive funds from the government to produce the resources that they have to, use for the school year. However, some schools still, have a long stationery list with additional products.
Mm.
I didn't leave you wondering, what is my child going to use in the end for when it comes to school supplies?
Indeed.
So some of those things really impose a financial strain on the pockets of parents at the beginning of the year. So we think it's important for us to tackle this issue and to unpack really how we can perhaps reduce that burden, or what to consider. And also in terms of when we speak free education or education for all, what does that really mean at the end of the day? Because we are, it looks like, yes, it's free, but then to what extent is it free?
Yeah, I think, when you talk about the areas of free education, first we need to look at now, because we have public education and we have, private education, private school education. Although these guys, all of the streams of education are also guided by, by the national curriculum.
Mm.
But, Kave, if you are comparing now public school expenses from parents and you compare with private school, you end up realizing that there's no difference anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no difference anymore, because you are literally giving everything.
Mm.
You are buying, school uniform, yes, it has been there. Then you are buying all the stationaries. You are buying, people are taking toilet. The list is long.
Mm-mm.
You take toilet paper, you take, they got reams of papers, you take everything.
Mm-mm.
And you realize that now, if somebody has no enough income,
mm-hmm.
how am I going to take my kids to school without being stressed?
Yeah.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you end up having a lot of, debt just to send your kid to school. Because you also don't want your kid to be left out. That's why this thing is really killing a lot of people, especially those who are struggling, which is majority of the people, for example. Majority of the people are struggling to meet the basic needs. Imagine now somebody have a kid, now you invested in the future of this kid, but by the time your kid is not even in grade 10, you're already drained.
Yeah,
you don't even want to eat. You get to, am I going to eat, or I'm going to buy my I'm going to tick the box of the list which I'm given. I think this is something that really needed discussion, because you know I'm starting to think, because those years they used to be SDF, school development fund. Because you pay that time you pay per term.
Yeah,
and it was a bit understandable.
Because it included the textbooks, and the everything. Books and what.
And if you compare this SDF with people what they are spending now, you end up realizing that not even SDF for one term. It's enough to complete that list.
Yeah.
The list is long. And a lot of parents are really struggling. I think majority of the parents are struggling, for those who do not know, especially if you are sending your kids to public school. You are literally paying for everything. And you also expect that, because, you know, education is not only a teacher to a learner. You are also educated to be, you are also expected to be, you know, stakeholders in that matter. You also expected to, you know, assist your kid with homeworks also, sometimes guide the kid. But then and it's really draining. And you see, what is so free about our education? Because by the time you go to university, you are already in a lot of debt. And this is not right at all. And these are some of the discussion that we need to bring about, because education is a human right.
Yeah, indeed. And also, I feel like that the problem comes in with when you have more than one child.
Yeah.
So imagine you have 4 kids, 5 kids, and they all have the same stationery list. So you are now, you know, you have to cut expenses from this one in order to cater for that one.
Yeah.
So I think that's where also the problem comes in, is that most of these schools, they don't understand that some parents actually have a lot of children.
Yeah.
So for you, in order to satisfy all your kids' needs, it's going to be a problem for you, especially if you have a low income job.
Yeah.
Or you know, you do domestic work, for example.
Yeah.
So it's going to be really hard for you to maintain those expectations or to reach everything on that list for all the kids. So I don't know now where the intervention has to come from, but something has to be done, because we cannot be having the same problem year in and year out.
Yeah, especially, you know, Kave, it's January and everyone, you know, we are coming from the holiday.
Enjoyment.
Yeah, it's enjoyment. and sometimes it's not only about enjoyment, it's also about, you know, spending time with people that you miss for a very long time, even connecting. But through that connection, obviously you have to spend.
Yeah.
Now it's time for you to send kids to school. It's very expensive. Now, it's very expensive, and some people they rely on guardians. Some people they rely on guardians, and some of them they rely on uncles.
Yeah.
And some, you know, not everyone have parents, and you must remember this. And it's a very tough thing. And when you are saying no, free because you know free primary education. It's there to say no. There's free primary education. There is free education in Namibia, but education is not free. Education is not free. Now, where is the problem? Where is the problem? If the government through the line ministries, like a minister of education, relook at these things, then you see, because they always complain. I think complaints are already there.
Yeah.
How do you tackle this thing? Because if you want to maintain resources, just try to be accountable. Because if you went to public school, it's also the thing of everyone does not care. Unless you really have a very good school principal, or maybe good teachers who try to make sure that, you know, equipments are well in order, classrooms are closed. You know, if you go to most of the public schools, people, they don't care. There are no windows. You can enter any door you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can enter from any door you want. And it's like the school teachers, they also just come in and do their work and go home. No one is really accountable, because they are saying things are for public.
Yeah.
That's why I think now they started to be deteriorating. Then the government say, no, I think you guys, you must also sometimes start to spend. You must also start to spend, because things are getting lost. Textbooks here, textbook out. It's just a matter of accountability. If government can really have a very good budget and say, no, this is public school, this is the fundings, this is how I'm going to buy papers, and this is now you being accountable as a teacher. When you are done, don't just leave the school. Make sure that things are in order. Make sure that the classroom is closed. Make sure that security guard is there. Mm-hmm. You know that some of the public schools, they don't even have security.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially if you go to the village, you don't even know who is in order.
Mm.
Maybe it's the only few, maybe only staff rooms and and maybe offices are closing.
Mm.
But classes, they don't have, you don't even know where the key is. Some there are no doors, and you realize that these are some of the things that we were supposed, as people, we were supposed to be able, you know, to take care of.
Mm-mm.
For us also not to spend much.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, I don't think the government is struggling to pay for all these things that people are putting in the list.
Mm.
It's not struggling. The money is there. But the thing is, how can we move from this thing of, you know, pressuring one another?
Mm-mm.
Because I think it also has to come from, you know, both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And also, yesterday I had the liberty of talking to one parent.
Yeah.
And the thing that stood out to me with her conversation is that she was like, no, yes, we can sympathize and say that not everybody comes from a good household, you know, where they can afford everything.
Yeah.
We get that point. Yes, it's there. But then also as a parent, you have to look at it from the point of view to say, this is my child's education and I have to invest in it.
Yeah.
And one thing that her, like, she advised that her school does is that during the school year, like, let's say it's 2024.
Yeah.
So throughout that school year,
yeah,
they raise funds for the next year.
Yeah.
So that at the beginning of the year, yeah, they don't have to demand so much from their parents,
yeah,
or from their kids. And then maybe the school can provide maybe a few hardcovers,
yeah,
a few, you know, those things of covering books, just maybe shoes, you know, yeah, to some extent to help the strain from parents. And I think, like, if we all come together and to, yeah, build that relationship to say,
yeah,
education is not just about the students or just about the teachers or just about the ministry,
yeah,
but also us as parents and as guardians and, yeah, as people, you know, who are building the child, who, yeah, are helping the child grow better.
Yeah.
We also want to contribute and also going to play our part to that extent. Yes, we understand that not everybody can afford or not everybody is, you know, has that kind of lifestyle.
Yeah.
But to some extent, we also have to come in, yeah, like that.
I think that thing of coming up with, you know, financial initiatives to just to put the school to have money so that it can take care of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, let me say it's a public school which has been into existence for 20 years.
Mm.
If you have been into existence for 20 years, it means that you have, alumni.
Yeah, yeah.
You have people that completed that. And there are some schools which used to make this initiative to say, no, we are going to call back, you know, our former students. Maybe, you know, Kavena is a senior journalist, so you are the editor.
Mm.
You go back to your former school.
Yeah.
Yeah, then you give what you give. Mm. You come up with an initiative. Those get together.
Yeah.
Then they bring a lot of money. Then after that, it's easier also for schools to take care of themselves.
Mm.
And the other thing also, you know, I used to watch, most of the churches, especially Lutheran churches, they used to have this thing of special events.
Mm.
They organize, they call somebody of influence. Let me say, it can be a business person, can be a sports star, just to bring people together.
Mm-mm.
When they call this, they have these special events. They say, no, today is a competition between I'm a very successful business guy. Between David and Kave, we are both from that, you know, church.
Mm.
Then I come with my friends, then we raise a lot of funds. And this fund, most of them, they go to church, to the church, treasure.
Mm.
Or they use it to rebuild another building or whatsoever. And the other thing, if we can really be so smart enough, because in most areas, there's a public school, there's a church.
Mm.
You understand?
Yeah.
If these stakeholders are working together, if church can also contribute to the assisting of schools,
mm,
because we cannot just give, because church was supposed to be there to assist people, not only spiritually, but if you have to assist material wise, you can also assist. Do you understand? If school and churches are working together, then that, because the moment you invest in those kids, they'll come back again.
Mm.
When they come back with funds.
Yeah.
And people don't know this thing. Yeah, because everyone must take part in this thing. Not only to say, no, parent.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you come with initiatives of saying, no, I'm going to call back, my former students, or there's an event of former students, everyone can bring 100, 200. Then by the end of that event, you can be at 50K,
mm-hmm,
for example.
Yeah.
And that can sustain you.
Mm.
That can sustain you instead of pressuring to say, no, I gave you the list in December, but you only brought a few items.
Mm.
yeah, but I'm going there to learn. I'm not going there to, you know, sometimes there's just nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's just nothing. And it's also, you know, unfortunate to see somebody who is at the position of making a decision, but you did not really go on the ground and see where these kids are coming from.
Yeah.
Even some inspectors of education, they don't even really know within their, you know, their circuit.
Mm.
How many kids are here? How many kids are underprivileged?
Mm.
How many? Where are these kids coming from?
Yeah.
Just they say no, people are not complying with educational policies and you are staying in your office. But,
yeah.
But you're supposed to, because if you are inspecting, you cannot just go to schools and see.
Mm.
Go to see why this kid is not performing this way. It could be that this kid maybe did not eat for the past 2 days.
Mm.
Where is the problem? Some kids are racing themselves.
Yeah.
Then you're just there pressuring to say no. There are those people, I don't know, sometimes it's good to follow the laws, but you must also have humanity at heart.
Mm.
Cannot just say, no, I want my, let me say, at the public school, deep down the village, like maybe say you are in Kunene, you are in Amsati, you are in Hangwena. Say, no, I want my assignment now or my homework. A kid is standing up to explain. Then you start beating a kid.
Mm.
Or start saying, no, get out of my class. Because sometimes you need to understand beyond professionalism if you want to build this country.
Mm.
You cannot just say, no, if you don't bring my test this time, end of the story.
Yeah.
Because you need to understand where are these people coming from. Some people don't have resources.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, some people don't have resources. Some people are coming from houses where they are raising themselves. Some kids are being abused.
Mm.
Especially young ladies.
Yeah.
You don't know where they are coming from. And I think it's just something that we really need to work on, because apart from pressuring people, you must understand what is the impact of this system that you introduce.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, what is the impact of this system that you introduce? Did you really go and make a monitoring and evaluation to see that this system of saying, you know, parents must buy this, it has an impact on their It has impact on their economic well-being.
Mm.
Because remember, you are still number two.
Yeah.
You are still number two in terms of economic inequality.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you are still pressuring people, because this one is for everybody.
Mm-mm.
It's for everybody. There's no special treatment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we really have to evaluate, because like you're saying, you have to understand where a person is coming from.
Yeah.
And some of the things on the list also, let's just be honest, they are ridiculous.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you don't even, like, even at home, some households.
You can survive without them.
You can survive with, exactly, you can survive without these things, but then it's required for you to take along these kind of things, or especially when they're bought or usually in bulk.
Yeah.
You know, two handies,
five
how many's, and it's crazy to expect that kind of, to put that kind of pressure on somebody, because if I can survive it at my house, I'm sure my kid can go to school, you know, for
without
a week
them.
Without them. So why the pressure, like, why is it such a big deal to make some of these products such a priority when it comes to school? Because when we say education for all, we want it to be a system where everybody can come to school
and
they can be comfortable.
Yeah.
And they can feel included in the system to say, okay, I'm going to school, I'm learning and I'm appreciated here. This is a safe space, it's a safe platform, or it's a safe, you know, space for me to walk into and to truly gain knowledge.
Mm.
Now we are creating this thing where it's becoming a thing of, education is not like it's supposed to be a human right, but now we're making it into a privilege or something that you have to now earn.
Yeah, but you know, Kave, the only people who can improve our education system, the only people who can really have a very strong influence, especially in educational policies, are the concerned teachers.
Yeah,
yeah. If you really have good teachers, not just salary collectors.
Mm-mm.
Because you are the one who, because if you have good teachers, because if you look at most of the advanced education system in the world, these are the teachers who come up with research. Because you have been teaching kids for 20 years, you know where the problem is. These guys, they know where the problem is. You know that the failure of these kids is caused by maybe their economic well-being, or there's a problem with this system. Then you advise people on top. Then you talk to your principal, you talk to your inspector, education director, and you talk to the minister. Because if you don't have teachers who are really not just there to do their job, just to teach, they must think and come up with a solution to this problem. Because the teacher is the one who is spending most of the time with these kids.
Yeah.
And they know what they are going through.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because if you really have teachers who are good at researching, identifying a problem, I think we will not have this thing.
Mm.
Not have this thing, because you can already see.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can already see.
Yeah, so maybe it's upon now the school to truly capacitate their teachers to that extent, to say, When we are doing something, when we are, you know, asking for something from parents, we have to do an introspection. We have to understand where people are coming from. We have to, you know, have an understanding of each other.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a give and take situation.
Yeah.
Yes, there are things that the schools need that they cannot attain from the government.
Yeah.
That maybe, you know, parental inclusion at that level will be needed. But then, however, you also have to understand the economy at this point.
Yeah, the economy is not easy.
Yeah.
And the economy is not really, really, really good. And the education institution must also be smart enough.
Mm.
It can be an initiative from the circuit.
Yeah.
Or maybe from the region. You know, from this region, this is how we are going to do it.
Mm-mm.
How do we make money? How do we make money without pressuring our people?
Yeah.
Because regions are not the same. Maybe if you say different towns, there are also maybe some towns are economic hubs.
Mm-mm.
Parents can able to assist. But some region you can already see. This region is impoverished.
Mm.
And you can just see it.
Yeah.
And you are just there demanding my things. We are struggling. We did not eat for the past 5 days. You are telling me to bring the list of things. No, what is going on? If UN said, the UN declaration is indicating that, you know, education was supposed to be free.
Mm.
It's a human right.
Yeah.
It's a human right. And it's something that don't need to be negotiated. Yeah, that's why those years when people were not paying, school development fund. We're not paying school development fund. There were some considerations to say, I understand you, but you must be committed next time.
Mm-hmm.
But I cannot chase you from school.
Yeah.
Because that is what? We are not equal.
Mm.
Yeah, but if there is really somebody who has money, I'm not saying we must just, because it's government, everyone must boycott.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that thing of that concept of chasing away people because they don't have something, that's a custom that has to end completely.
It's something which is, you know what is wrong, especially with not all public schools, ne? You know, it's like a kid walking like 5 kilometers to school. Then when you reach school, you are late. Then the teacher, instead of accommodating you, chasing you out of the class, it's a punishment.
Oh my goodness.
What kind of thing is that?
Exactly.
Yeah. Because why now? I walk like 5 kilometers to school.
Mm-mm.
You are at the village. When you reach there, you are very tired.
Yeah.
I know I did not reach there on time. But instead of me being accommodated in the class, then you are being chased. Then when you start thinking about these things, you know, but what is the reason of chasing a person if the person is already late?
Yeah.
yeah, you're already late and you are being chased. Why are you teaching or you are not teaching?
Mm. Yeah. And in that situation, to some extent, I'll say I will hold the parents responsible because in that situation, as a parent, you have to step in.
Yeah.
And you have to be vocal about the situation.
Yeah.
There are offices in place where you can go and you can go complain. And if these people don't do anything, that's why the media is there.
Yeah.
You have to make your voice loud.
Yeah.
Because when you are loud, they will listen to you.
No, just say, no, we are, I'm sending the media. They will come to pay you a visit.
Exactly. Just to send an article to who.
Yeah, because you don't have, if you are doing something which is within the law, you don't have anything to fear.
Mm.
Yeah, you don't have anything to fear. If you are following educational policies, why do you have to run away from media?
Exactly.
Yeah, because if you are really doing something which is right, no one can do anything to you. You can just come, then you explain to say, no, this is a situation.
Mm.
The kid is late, I'm chasing him out, maybe to learn from somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, then we see. Because your reason being there is to improve the education of kids.
Mm.
It's the same thing with failure.
Mm-mm.
It's the same thing with failure. If a lot of kids are failing at school, and there's somebody there who is saying, I'm just here to do my job.
Mm.
That's not what's supposed to be. Your job was to make sure that you bring me closer to at least pass the basic.
The festive season comes with a lot of traveling. Whether you're driving out of town, making a dash to the store, or simply crossing the street, ensure your safety by adhering to all the road rules during the holiday season. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yes, welcome back to the Business and Economic segment, Lecture Hall 1. We're talking about how we can truly reduce the financial burden that comes with the whole process of back to school because this is a a period where a lot of parents are now complaining about the financial strain it brings, from the stationery lists to all the expectations that, you know, are just placed upon the shoulders of parents during this time. Yeah. And we are saying that, yes, we know that government does fund schools to some extent, but then some schools still take it upon themselves, you know, to put extra things on stationery lists that are required for the school year. You know, some things are questionable and some things you can understand to some extent, but then to those parents who have more than one child, it becomes truly also a hard thing to go through, because imagine you have to buy one stationery list could already cost you like 1K, and you have to do that times 5 kids. Yeah. So just imagine, and it's January, you know. Yeah. Some, you know, sometimes you have your own kids and you have, you know, your sister's kids that you also support on the side.
Yeah, dependents also.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the other thing, I think also, because apart from, before we go to government, or let me say the ministry itself, because at the school level, if you have very good educational management at school, things will go forward.
Mm-mm.
If you have, you know, Kaveh, that the strongest body in school is, you know, a school board.
Mm.
And people don't respect this, especially if you're at the rural area.
Mm.
People don't really see the value of a school board, because a school board was supposed to be, it's operating at the same level as the board of director of the company.
Mm-mm.
And if you bring this thing to say, no, your job is not just to advise.
Yeah.
What initiative are you coming up with so that you can reduce the situation? Because don't just follow a thing, because it's public school.
Mm.
The management of the school must be seen from who is leading.
Mm-mm.
The chairperson of the board, who in technical terms, he was supposed to be the boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you have now the CEO, who is the school principal, who reporting to the board. It was supposed to operate like that.
Mm.
Then you say, no, I know I'm a chairperson of this board, but 80% of the parents from this area, they don't have anything.
Mm.
What can we do about it?
Exactly. And sometimes, you know...
There is a caller.
Oh. Yes, good afternoon.
It's gone.
Oh, it's gone.
Yeah.
You can definitely engage us in this topic. I'm here in studio. Our studio number is 083-288-401. 083-288-401.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was saying that, in some cases, we find that some schools, you know, they also tend to ignore, you know, I don't know how to say put it, but they tend to ignore their talent that can produce them money.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll have kids at school. These kids are super talented.
They
can bring you money.
You know,
you could have the kids engage in programs or activities, and then you put these things up for sale, and then you can generate an income for the school.
Yeah.
And the parents don't have to even, you know, contribute, or especially for the kids maybe who have parents that truly can't afford.
Yeah, even, you know, it can be even sport activities Even sport activities which can bring money. But I think it also has to do with, with management of the funds.
Mm.
It's management of the school funds. Who is in charge of managing the school funds? How accountable are we?
Mm.
Is the school fund really there to save the interest of the education system, or the interest of the kids who are coming to school, or is there just to take, you know, educators to foul parties? Because at the end of the day, if you really have a lot of money in your account as a school, why can't you assist those who are in need? Why can't you assist? Assist people who are in need.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I remember schools used to do this thing of, I don't know if it was big works and, or I don't know if they still do that, but
yeah,
those extracurricular things.
Yeah, it's a fundraising event.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fundraising event.
And back in the day that we used to work, even those things, if you wear casual, then you know you pay $5, $10, that was a large sum of money that was usually collected for those things.
Yeah, because apart from that now, I think the government must relook at that thing.
Mm.
Yeah, must relook at that thing, because you need to assess where we are standing as a country. And you also need to assess the situation where the country is.
Mm.
Yeah, because if we are in drought, the population is increasing.
Mm-mm.
There is an issue of lack of access to funds, lack of access to resources that you can create wealth. You see that thing. When you see that thing, then you say, no, I think we need to relook at this thing, and we need to boost our budget.
Mm.
On top of now boosting the budget, Namibia is not like other countries. If you are in China and you are breaking just tables and chairs like that,
yeah,
they will sort you out.
Mm-hmm.
They will sort you out in a very good way, that because we really don't have discipline. It's not only with education.
Mm.
We don't have discipline at maintaining infrastructure.
Mm. Mm-mm.
It maintaining, you know, maintaining public assets.
Mm-mm.
We just don't have.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if it's public, I can enter anytime.
Mm.
You know, it's the same with... it's the same with not all the institution of the public, because people think the government is somebody else.
Mm.
Yeah, because if you cannot maintain them, you cannot see the government coming to you. If you cannot maintain them to say, I'm maintaining these tables, I'm maintaining these textbooks, and even the efforts of teachers are not really there.
Mm.
But if the teachers were themselves, they were the one who were running this. Because if you compare a public school with a private academy,
mm-mm,
or after classes academy, this is different.
Yeah.
Even some teachers who own after classes academy,
mm-hmm,
they manage those assets very well, because they know everything is running, everything is money.
Mm.
Yeah, but if you really have that thing to say, no, this one need to be done. Security must be here on time. Cleaners must be here on time.
Mm.
Students must do this. Students must make sure that they maintain their properties. It's easier.
Mm, indeed.
Because if I don't want to talk bad about all the public school, but a lot of them, even the mentality when we enter, like some of us when we enter, you know, high school,
mm,
it's like a jail cell. yeah. Those are things that you see in American movies.
Everyone
is writing his name on the wall to say no. David was here in 2020, what?
Mm.
And to us, we think it's a fashion,
mm,
because no one putting order.
Yeah.
Yeah, we say no. Cafe was here. How can you write your name on the wall of a toilet, for example? just things like that. But we don't have that thing in us to say, this is public management.
Mm.
Manage public assets.
Yeah.
We don't have it. That's why I think it's really killing even the budget of the country also.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just have those things there. Things are not counted. We don't know how many textbooks
are
given. No records, nothing. Mm. Yeah, but now we have, we have systems.
Mm.
Yeah, you can keep records to say, no, this is how many textbooks I'm giving, this how many are coming, this and you can trace.
Yeah.
Easy to trace and track. Because if you have to 20 kids using, I mean 5 kids using one textbook, it's easy for you to get lost.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and untraceable.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it's really something which we need to be worked on.
Yeah, no, I agree, definitely. Yeah. That negligent behavior where we're just, you know, we don't care about things and we're just dismissive of things.
But there are things.
Yeah, but they're our things. So we definitely, I don't know if we need more stricter rules, maybe that will enforce discipline at a better level, or I don't know if it's a thing that a child has to be groomed at from home to say that when you're in school is how you should behave, or...
You know where the problem is?
Mm.
The problem is coming with the mentality, especially not all the public servants. You know, you can find some educators,
mm,
when they enter class, because their focus is only on their funds. They say, no, me, I already have my... I think a lot of people expected this, experienced this thing. Me, I already have my diploma, my certificate in education. I'm just here to do my job.
Mm.
But your job is beyond you.
Mm.
And whether the class is clean or not clean, some teachers, they just come and write and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just come and write. But you're supposed to be there to make sure that these are... You are in charge of producing, you know... doctors.
Yeah.
You're in charge of producing, you know, chemists and everybody.
Yeah.
But if you are behaving in a certain way, those kids can be successful one day, but they are lacking a lot of things.
Mm.
And discipline also.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you are disciplined, if you teach people the value of materials,
mm,
if you are not using a lot of things which were not supposed to be, you know, to be said.
Yeah.
It's easier for you to maintain public assets.
Mm.
Why China has a best education system? Why Japan have a best education system? Why Singapore has a best education system? These are the same people like us, just the same like us.
Mm.
Yeah, it's only maybe the color which is different, but we are the same.
Yeah,
we are the same.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah,
and I think that takes me back actually to a topic I was having the other day. One of those days when you were not here.
Yeah.
I remember talking about job sculpting and it, especially the process of like ensuring that you know the right person is matched with the right kind of job.
Yeah.
This is when you like you know you make sure that if David especially growing up, was to be an artist.
Yeah.
Within the line of job that he now does when he's grown up, you know, yeah. he goes in line with it because it actually makes you perform better and more yeah. efficiently in that kind of work.
Yeah.
And I think it's a thing in Namibia to say that, you know, education, for some people, it has become a thing of, I couldn't do this, so I'm going to do education.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that, so I'm going to resort to education. Like, yeah. it's not really a thing of, I'm passionate about, you know, teaching, and I'm passionate about, you know, taking care of kids and ensuring discipline and all of these things. And I think it really goes back to that, because if you are passionate about something, you'll be more effective in it.
Yeah, yeah, and things like education and nursing, those things are beyond it's beyond profession.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond profession. You have to do beyond what you studied.
Yeah,
because you are dealing with human beings like at a daily basis, and these are different human beings.
Yeah.
And especially teachers, and the most important teachers, although everyone, all the teachers are important, especially primary school teachers.
Mm-mm.
It's primary school teachers, because this is the foundation of everything.
Yeah.
Because some talents, they are killed in grade 3.
Mm, yeah. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And they never recover from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some kids, they come to school, they are just happy. We don't even know what school is. Grade 1, grade 2, you just go there to meet friends
Mm-mm.
and play with other kids. And the one who sing a lot sometimes become the class captain.
Mm.
Then you start realizing that I think the school is fun. You learn how to read and write. You calculate. Then you also see that after school, maybe I can do something.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, if you don't have well-structured system, if you don't have educators who understand what they are doing, especially from the primary stage, a lot of talents will not recover from there.
Mm-mm.
A lot of talents will not recover. This one is including now the aspect of discipline, is including the aspect of managing public assets, is including everything.
Mm.
And that is the only way that we can move forward. Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. So even everybody from the principal down to the teachers, I feel like if they play their role also well, it can also contribute when it comes to maintaining the infrastructure that's there, you know, when it comes to upkeeping the school the way it's supposed to be upkept, and also enforcing the discipline.
Yeah.
Because if you care about something, you will act a certain way as opposed to when you just, you know, you're just there for your money,
you're
just there to secure your bag and go home. Yeah. Like, it would be a different kind of system. And I think that's the thing also that sets private schools apart from public schools.
Yeah.
Because you find that when you walk into a private school, most of the teachers are very engaged.
Yeah.
They are on top of it, man. Even the way they greet you, and they, you know, when you're showing you the tour for the school.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of atmosphere.
I think it's a system. It's a system, because with a private, I think it's almost hand in hand with its public sector and private sector.
Mm.
Private sector people are very serious, because you are playing with people's money.
Mm-mm.
You are playing with people's money. With public sector, you are also playing with people's money, but you are not feeling the pain because you are not in charge of, you know, giving the budget.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why there's a big difference between, you know, public school and the private school. But the system was supposed to flow the same.
Mm.
Yeah, there was not supposed to be to say, no, this one went to this school, this one went to the other school.
Yeah.
Because remember, even the commitment and extra efforts that private school is putting,
public school.
Because what is interesting is that you can find intellectual difference either in terms of expression from a private school kid and a public school kid, but these guys who are teaching this kid, they went to the same college, they went to the same university. Maybe the one who went to public school even was better at university than this one. But it's only that when this one went to a public school, he or she already found this environment which just do your job, submit and go home. Don't smile with anyone.
Yeah.
You submit and go home. You do your job, you report and go home. And that is the thing that we need to really work on. But coming to the finance of especially the back to school thing, I think this is something which need all the stakeholders to get involved.
Mm.
It cannot be scrapped not to be there, because you need materials to go to school.
Yeah.
But people must find ways.
Mm.
Yeah, people must find ways. Schools must also find ways. Because complying with, because if it's a policy from a national level, just complying with a policy from a national level without critiquing it, not really to say criticizing it, without critiquing the policy and say, no, but we can supplement this one.
Mm.
We have 50K in our account, but people will not tell you that.
Mm-mm.
No, we have 50K in our account. Let's assist this.
At parents. My age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
Yes, welcome back to Lecture Hall 1, Business and Economic Segment with Kaveh and David. Today we're just unpacking how we can reduce the financial burden that comes with the process of back to school, because, you know, on Monday, a lot of schools will be back in action already, you know, people will be there. And of course, with that also comes the financial implication of it, you know, to say that we have to now look at the stationery list. Yes, they were given to us last year, but then to some people still, you know, it's going to be a hard time, because on this list, yeah, usually, you know, an immense amount of things that are required. And sometimes for some parents, it can be, of course, a hard time to make sure that you are, you know, buying everything on the list in order to make sure that your child is not left out. Because imagine going to school with all these requirements and you are there, you're the only one without a book or you're the only one without a what.
Yeah.
Obviously, the child will feel some type of way and it will also impact their performance.
Yeah.
So as parents, we try to, you know, to come in and to buy the things. But then sometimes it's just not, it's just beyond your capacity. You just cannot afford it.
Yeah, I think if we can put it both ways, I think parents should also not be just out from this conversation, because if you are able, because kids need materials.
Yeah.
If you are able, you can assist.
Mm.
No, if you are able, you can assist, because there's nothing awkward about, you know, you not having anything at school where the kids are presenting their things.
Mm.
That's the reason people brought this school uniform.
Yeah.
Because if you go to some schools like in the US or other countries, some schools, they don't use, especially most developed countries, they don't really respect school uniform.
Mm.
Yeah, because everyone there is a bit advanced.
Mm-mm.
But the school uniform system is to say, no, everyone should be equal.
Mm.
We don't know whether you are coming from this place or this one. Everyone should just wear the same thing.
Mm.
But now parents should also try their best to make sure that there's nothing which make a kid very happy than having resources. Because if you have resources, it will boost your confidence. Kaveh, if you give me books, my bag, and I have everything, that's when it's like I have all the tools.
Yeah,
it's easier for me. Even if you really did not give me everything, at least give me some materials.
Mm.
Because if you are going to war, give me some guns.
Yeah, at least.
So I can defend myself.
Yeah.
You cannot just go to people have the machine guns. You just have bows and arrows
Mm-mm.
or nothing.
Mm.
Yeah, at least equip your kids with something.
Yeah.
At least if you cannot afford to buy 20 books, at least if you can buy 10, if you can buy 5, you are a good parent. You are doing something.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Don't just leave it in God's hands.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't just do that, because lack of materials can also contribute to the confidence of a kid.
Mm.
Yeah, because other kids will bully them. Even parents, even the teachers, they also bully them indirectly.
Mm.
To say, it's also you today, Kaveh.
You again.
Yeah. It's
where those teachers always? They're always there. It's always uni.
Mara, you know, I think it's happening in every class. There's always that kid who you don't know if he's coming from.
Yeah.
There's always that, but it's painful.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always that kid who you don't know whether the kid is coming from. Is coming from a house or is coming from a dungeon.
Mm-mm.
Sport activity, there's nothing, no contribution. Spelling bee, nothing.
Mm.
Some of these guys are also bright.
Mm.
We are going to science fair. Where can we assist?
Yeah.
But if you really have a guardian who says, no, I don't have money, at least at the end of this month, I can give you this one, or I can come and see. And there's always those kids who, from grade 1 to grade 12, there's no one to represent you at the parents' meeting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's no one. How do you expect this person to pass?
Mm.
Because you are just moving with the flow.
Yeah.
And some of them, they end up also making it. But how many of them, they just pull out because of that?
Yeah.
People are coming to parents' meeting, nothing. People are contributing this, nothing. No one is showing up. Okay, now it's back to school.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And it's crazy to think about, because you know when you were in school and that was happening, you know, it wasn't really something that you gave mind to. Now that you get to sit here and reflect back, you're like,
then,
you know,
then you see that
wasted potential.
Yeah, there's a lot of wasted potential.
Yeah,
and I think, I don't know if it's only in Namibia, because I did not really travel enough. You know, some educators, they end up also, you know, just concentrating on the kids who are doing well.
Mm.
But that is not the aim of education.
Yeah.
You know, there are those bright kids who, before you teach, that kid can already start explaining what you are going to say.
Mm.
And there are those guys who can take 5 days just to grasp one page.
Mm.
But this was supposed to be your focus, to say, no, let me try to upgrade this one.
Mm-hmm.
Just focusing on the best two. No, the first one is Kaveh. It's going to do. We always have Kaveh. We always have somebody. But at least try to balance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, try to balance, because you'll be shocked. Some of these guys are not intellectually gifted, but they have resilience.
Mm.
If you really give them resources, they will be at the back, but they are pushing.
Yeah,
and there are those guys who never lost out of the group.
Mm-hmm.
That because I remember there was one guy, man, we were together at university. He used to be like, you know, this American hip-hop star. Mm. That guy, I respect him, because he said, no, David, I'm here to fail no module. He said that in the American English, you know, I'm here to fail no module.
Mm.
With him, if you guys are doing very well, you can get 80%, you can get 70%. He's just at 55%.
Mm.
When people fail, he's just at 50%. You guys, maybe you have 40% or whatever.
Mm.
And he has consistency.
Yeah,
that's why I say no. This guy, you cannot lose him.
Mm-mm.
Because you can find those bright kids who can get 80, 80, 80, then something happened to the person, then down.
Mm-mm.
Then with him, things can be so difficult or whatever, but he just said, no, David, me, I play midfield, even in the so, I mean, I'm just a general.
Oh,
yeah,
50, 57,
and this guy is boosted to that extent that he has resilience. He's not really smart.
Mm-mm.
But he's just saying, no, this is how I calculate, this is how I win.
Mm.
Yeah, and I think that is something which really need to be looked at. Don't just look at kids who can do well.
Mm.
Try to, there are doctors that you are leaving there.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you get old, they were supposed to come and assist you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. And I think it also goes back to what you were saying about education has to be a three-way street.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The government, the school, the teachers, and then of course the parents at home.
And also there's a community.
Oh,
and,
the community,
and this community,
yes,
include also the church.
Mm-hmm.
Church must play a role in kids' education. People must talk about this thing. It's not only a spiritual assistance.
Mm.
Church has money, Kaveh. Do you understand this?
These Namibian churches?
Yeah, they have money.
Really?
Yeah. But it's few of them who you see that, no, they assisted
schools
or they assisted these poor people. But it's spiritual fulfillment.
Mm-mm.
But it was supposed to be, okay, you are part of, and they don't pay tax, by the way.
It's a non-profit organization.
It's a non-profit organization. But at least if you are able to help, more people will come also and say, no, this is relevant.
Mm.
When I grow, I'm going to assist, I'm going to attend and do ABC and D. Because direct assistance is needed.
Mm.
Instead of just, you know, I don't want to get there. Yeah, but at least assist. Mm. Assist where you can assist.
Yeah.
If you have money and you're a community organization, assist.
Mm.
Yeah.
So for the school, it's important to, you know, to create those financial incentives where you can.
Yeah.
For the children that really have parents that cannot afford, maybe, I don't know, create measures, put measures in place for them to say, this child is bright at this, so we're going to utilize that talent, you know, to generate the money or to help them to some extent, to say, at least if they're doing this, we'll cover that for them. Or, you know, it has to be a coordination of all these parties. They have to work together in order to ensure that, you know, everybody, no child is left behind at the end of the day. Because we don't want an education system where somebody feels like they can't go to school because of not having certain resources, or they can't go to school because they can't bring this and that.
Yeah.
We want it to be, you know, a free education system like, you know, it's supposed to be. We want it to be an inclusive education system like how it's meant to be.
Yeah.
Where a child can just come to school and feel comfortable enough and feel included and feel like, you know, I can unlock my fullest potential here.
Yeah.
And I can be the best that I can be here because, you know, my teachers are not closing me out. Even if I don't have that or I don't have this, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
That's what it has to become. That's how education should be. It has to be that place where everybody feels safe enough to go and to go learn.
Yeah. No, Kaveh, just a good environment. Let us not be divided by finance.
Mm.
Yeah, because if let us not be divided by finance, because we are in the same struggle, all of us.
Mm.
Because especially if we are, I don't know how to say black folks, but Namibians, we are in the same struggle, all of us.
Yeah.
Because you reach a certain level, don't just say, I'm not going to accommodate this kid. I'm going to pressure this person. Because at the end of the day, you are breaking down the, you know, the structure of the society.
Mm.
Kids must feel that they are accommodated. And now everyone must play a role. From the community, his parents, his educators.
Mm.
Because what is the goal? The goal is for this kid to get somewhere one day.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's discipline. It's financial assistance where you can. And it's also accommodating the kid with their mistakes.
Mm.
Especially primary education.
Yeah.
Primary education in Namibia must really need to be worked on.
Mm.
Yeah. And the ministry also, you know, because when you talk about the government, every sector must have somebody who is representing you.
Mm.
When the minister is going to sit in the cabinet, must also bring these things up. To say, no, people are talking about at least give me what extend my budget. Extend my budget of buying resources.
Mm.
Yeah, extend my budget of buying resources. Extend my budget. I want to do research. I want to do monitoring and evaluation to see where this thing is going.
Mm.
I want to see to look at what is the cause of failures among the kids.
Mm-mm.
Is it economic? Is it there is no economic support within that community, or there is a lot of parents who are not able to do it? What is the main problem?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because that's the only way you can be solving issues, because otherwise we end up talking about the same issue every day.
Yeah.
Every day is the same issue. Every day is the same issue. Every day, the same problem, but we are not going to solve it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's why finance, we must tackle it very well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. And I think, I don't know how this works, but also when it comes to investment, like, you know, you find sometimes there's like some business people who are just, you know, rich beyond capacity, and they don't even know what to do with their riches.
Yeah.
Like, why is it so hard for us to find these people, to locate these people, to invest into our schools? Or how does that whole process really work?
Yeah, I think it's deeper than that. You can invest in the school and give. You know, Kaveh, it's painful to be given a school uniform and you are on social media.
Oh.
Have you seen this
thing? Yeah.
Have you seen this thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody give you a school uniform, say, no, I'm David, I'm giving Kaveh this school uniform so that she can go and study.
Mm.
It's not supposed to be like that. Just give.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give. You can give. Then people can see that you gave something. And try also. It's the same thing with our economy also. We must be taught how to make wealth.
Mm.
We must be taught how to make money. Train, you know, it's going beyond our education.
Mm.
Train people to make their money within their community so they can assist each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Indeed. But nonetheless, we do only have 2 minutes left before we have to hand over to the Umtuma program. So if you can call us and keep it brief within these 2 minutes, please do. It is 083-288-401. 083-288-401.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Katima Mulilo at 93.1. Listen to Eagle FM in Orangemund at 107.7. Listen to Eagle FM in Otapi at 93.6. Listen to Eagle FM in Rundu at 106.3.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional, and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the Eye.
Yes, welcome back to Lecture Hall 1, Business and Economic Segment. We're out of time, David.
Thank you for listening to our program, Business and Economic Segment. Let's meet same place, same time, next week, Monday.
Yes, indeed. Thank you.